This week on RSBNB Update, safecracking is here, and we break down the details of this new training method, including when you want to use it and its XP per hour rewards. Also, thoughts on Lumbridge's new backdoor and rune-fested fart burrow. This is RSBNB Update, episode 669, recorded Thursday, May 3rd, 2018. Cracking the diversity code. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us once again for RSBNB Update. This week, we have an update of Kraken proportions, I guess we could say. I guess we could say we could get Kraken with that. I don't know if I butchered that, but anyways, Tanis, you're here.
I'm here, and you're cracking me up, Shane.
I don't know if we could say I'm cracking myself up, but I'm going to toss this over to Sirion to rescue us with a pun, because I'm messing these up right away. So, welcome, Sirion.
I guess you haven't had enough puns for me.
Yeah, that's week. Right. That's right. You did the weekly bite this week.
I did. I tried making it as horrible as possible.
I don't think it was horrible. It still got a decent number of views compared to what we were doing this time.
I think the question is how many of those people are going to come back, but I guess we'll see you next week.
Yeah, it all comes down to your nice, charming voice, right?
Oh, I was more talking about the jokes.
Oh, okay. Well, in any case, safe cracking. Thieving update that we first saw at RuneFest. Quick rundown of thoughts before we begin. Yes, no, maybe so. Tanis.
I love it. Absolutely love it. Right. Even more than what I thought, and it's different than what I thought it was going to be. So.
How about you, Sirion?
I think it's exactly what the skill needed.
Yeah, and it's also exactly as advertised, and that's the way I'm gonna preface that for later, because there's going to be some stuff we're going to talk about as well. So this takes part in the Thieving Guild, and you know, you really don't need much to begin with this. You need 62 Thieving, 40 Agility, 46 Herblore, and the 4 Thieves Guild Capers, and once you do that, you unlock all of the safes around RuneScape according to your level, and you know, there are a lot of them with this, but basically talk to the safe-cracking trainer in the Thieves Guild, and away you go, and you can basically steal anywhere from up top on the Varrock Castle to the Wise Old Man's House to all the way deep in the wilderness at the really high levels here. So, it's largely AFK. Do you guys like the fact that it's AFK? And, I mean, when you look at thieving didn't really have much AFK going for it, aside from the elves, right?
Right. You know, I mean, the AFK is nice in case something happens, but I actually like the active part of it more. I'm much more active when it comes to safecracking than just letting it ride.
Okay. Now, maybe you can explain that to me. How do you be active with safe cracking? Because, I mean, I just click it and I don't know, like, what...
Yeah, leave it to the visually impaired person to explain this. Yeah, the safe will flash, and that's when you want to click it, and it will automatically pick one of those locks.
I didn't know that.
So... Yeah, so when you see the safe flashing, that's when you click on it, and it, you know, it'll say like 1 out of 5 locks. But if you see that flash, you click on it, it's an automatic guaranteed you got the lock.
Okay.
The one you're working on.
I didn't know.
That is so non-obvious and non-discoverable.
Yeah, I didn't know it either until one of my friends told me. Yeah. Yeah, I thought there'd be like some kind of interface where we'd be like looking at safe, you know, front. But yeah, it's not. It just flashes.
I find
that puts an entirely new aspect on this update for me.
Yeah, it really speeds things up.
I mean, let's just have a look at the news post here. Where is that? I don't think that was mentioned in the news post. Now, was it?
It's not mentioned in the news post. It's not mentioned by the safe cracking trainer.
And that's kind of an important I mean, it's kind of an important part of the skill. Like, you can't do the attentiveness if you're not if you're not clicking when it flashes.
But why is the attentiveness part there in the first place? Like, if you want to do attentive thieving, you just do the normal pickpocketing, right?
But the thing is,
no, dwarf traders are terrible. I mean, it's fine, but that's why they're still the best. But this is better. This is better.
But the thing is, you can make dwarf traders actually almost AFK if you lock the guards in the room and you get your blocking monkey pet, and then that way then there will be nothing so that the one dwarf can't move at all, and you basically just stand in one single spot and you just spam click the thing.
Yeah, forget like the crystal mask thing and like Phaeus and like all this together, you can really boost up Dwarf Traders.
Right, but for someone like me, I'm not gonna, like, for one, I don't have that monkey. I mean, it's a really niche item. Not everyone has it. I've got the crystal mask and everything, but this is like that sweet spot between, for me, it's the sweet spot. I get more XP than I do AFK and Prif, but, you know, less than I would doing that, and I'm much more comfortable and much more, even though I'm being attentive, it's more relaxing than over there at the Dwarf Traders. I think it's like just the exact sweet spot for me.
Okay, that was just a brief flash, and you look away for a second and you miss it.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, like I said, how ironic was it that I bring that to the table?
If I look at like the numbers, this is more than Dwarf Traders, isn't it?
It is more than Dwarf Traders. Before we do that, though, before we do the numbers, because I have a feeling everyone wants to hear about all the numbers here. But before that, I just want to talk about where these all are. So, Mystalin, the Caridian Desert, Asgardia, Kandarin, and a number of hidden safes as well, requiring 62 for Mystalin, 69 for the Caridian Desert, 76 for the ones in Asgardia, and 83 for the ones in Kandarin, and then 90-plus for the hidden ones. And the hidden ones that we know of currently are in Zimmer Eagle's Fort, the Zanaris Marketplace, and the Rogue's Castle. So, now, we'll come back to these locations in just a minute. But XP per hour wise, if you're just trying to be attentive with the safes, you can look at around 800k XP per hour. Now, if you are just AFKing this, you can expect around 300k XP per hour, which is the same as the elves. Now,
that depends on what level of safes you're doing.
Right. And this is for level 83 plus, I believe, the numbers
right
here.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Does your thieving level sort of increase the speed at which you... Well, no, not if you're attentive, I guess.
No, it doesn't. Doesn't.
Okay.
So, and if you are going with boosts and you are being fully attentive, you have completed Ritual of the Majorat, you can expect up to 1 million XP per hour doing safes.
You also need, like, you have to be spot on with your tellies and knowing where you're going. Like, that is the maximum efficiency. I mean, that's using, like, some obscure teleports, Slayer Cape tellies, just some different stuff. But it can be done.
And this leads us to the realization here that, in theory, one could spend all of level 1 to 62 at the Thieving Guild and do level 62 all the way to 200 mil XP with safe cracking at these insane XP rates per hour. Now, quick back-of-the-envelope calculations with this suggest that it would take about 32 hours to get 99 thieving. Levels 1 to 62 would take about 10 hours, 62 to 83 about 8 hours, and 83 to 99, 14 hours. So, that's what we're looking at now for XP per hour rates with this skill. And by comparison's sake, the elves' AFK maximum, if you're fully decked out and whatnot, are about 300k XP per hour. and the dwarf traders before this update in Keldegrim were at about 800 KXP per hour maximum, and that required level 90. So what does this give us? I mean, just let's just have a look here at these numbers and see.
That's different than what I've always known. I've always heard that they even said it on the stream. Dwarf traders, if you're on it, man, you can get like upwards of 1.1, 1.2 mil.
Yeah.
And that's why, still the highest.
That's why I put, 800 KXP per hour. I like to aim a bit below what would be the maximum, but it's there as an option.
Right. Okay. Well, I see what you're doing there. Well, I don't want the listeners to get to thinking that like it's out of line, because it's really still like the tiers are still like the same. It's just, this is a different way of doing it.
I think more, a funner so. One. I haven't really done the math on this because like it's just not interesting for me. Like, because I'm 99 thieving, I'm not planning on going for like any goals. I'm just interested in the mechanics. And before I knew about the attentive training method, which I think the skill doesn't need.
No.
You get like this sort of, it's not quite AFK, but it's at least not as click intensive as the normal pickpocketing, which is also really frustrating with all the stunning and all that stuff. So I thought it was a great sort of step up toward the fully AFK training method at Drift Dinners. I saw it as sort of an intermediate training period, but now we look at it and it's the same XP per hour as Prithdina's thieving, which is fine because Prithdina's thieving is just, it's broken because it's both profitable and AFK and has great XP rates. But on the other hand, like, you now have the attentive thing, which brings down like a training method for like 800k XP per hour to level 83, which I think it's quite ridiculous. I'm not entirely sure why the attentive part of it was added, because I don't really see a need of it within. Like, I can see that it's slightly easier than a target that moves around, but I don't feel that really warrants this particular XP rate. Like, if anything, it should be lower than the training methods out there.
Yeah, and, you know, when you look at the dwarf traders being at level 90 and that being the, you know, the top of the XP curve that you can go for, with that being said, I think there are some assumptions to be made. And the assumption is, are you thieving dwarf traders in the sense that you're chasing them around? Or have you locked them down so that there's one in the position using a pet or a platypus or something like that to prevent it from moving?
I mean, you can get the dwarf traders to be as simple as attentive safe cracking, but it takes some effort to set that up.
Yes, it does.
And I think that counts as having to do extra effort. And
there's worlds for that. You should never have to do that. Should be able to go to the world with the dwarf traders to do that, where they're already locked in.
Yeah, there probably is. Unless you're just after a server reset. But I mean, in general, there's three, like, we're looking at the skilling variety here that Jagas wanted to introduce, and there's three things. There's profitability, there's XP per hour, and there's attentiveness, and they need to sort of balance. But is there anything but the Prithdinas elf that you would pickpocket for profit? I don't really think there's anything profitable in thieving otherwise. Like, nothing significant.
Nothing significant, no.
So the extra effort you put into dwarf traders right now doesn't seem to really pay off. Maybe you get slightly more XP per hour. Level 83 for like 800k XP per hour, I think it's
you're not getting 800k an hour at level 83. You're not. You're only going to do level 83 chest, and that is going to put you at like 400-500k at best. You have to have the level 90s with all of the quest blocks to get And you have to have all those quest requirements to even come close to those XP rates.
Yeah, and I should clarify that in the notes. I didn't put that that was 90 plus Ritual of the Majorat. So
I see. Still, it feels like it's trying to fill a gap in the skill that isn't there, and in so sort of puts salt in the wound.
It's
some of the broken parts of the skill.
And this is exactly what the thoughts of Thieves were, who is a 200 mil thieving person and resides in the RSB and Befriends chat, and put together the notes for this segment that we're going off of right now. Now, the full notes that he sent me did say Ritual of the Majorat 90 plus requirement on that. I neglected to put that in while copying over. And his general sentiment of this is that, you know, this completely changes the thieving skill to the point where if you are smart, you're going to do safecracking along the way, because it can be AFK or it can be intensive, and it's going to give you as good of the XP as the dwarf traders will at 90 plus, and it will even beat the elves for XP per hour.
And I think that is a bit of a sad thing. Like, I understand why it might need to exceed elves, because elves also give a lot of profitability in terms of items.
Definitely.
You need that pay. But elves are broken. I'd rather have that they don't make the skill more broken, but either keep the elf thing broken or fix it in the future.
Yeah, see, and let's ask ourselves a question. Could they take the elf XP per hour down by about 25% with this update? Could they have done that and got away with it? Probably not.
No, but I don't think, I mean, I couldn't disagree more anyway. I don't think it's broken. I think it's good. Do you enjoy Pyramid Plunder? Because I didn't. I didn't like Pyramid Plunder from 62 all the way to what, 91?
I never enjoy any part of the thieving skill. I'm going to be honest with that.
This gives you options. Like, you don't have to do it.
I'll agree with that. You might do it. It definitely does give you options.
I guess what it does do is it sort of smooths the curve in the thieving skill, because you used to have bad options until you could do elf pickpocketing, and now it sort of gets better over time, I guess.
Yeah, the best option came in at 90 for dwarf traders before. And now you got something that is as good as dwarf traders if you balanced out for level starting at 62.
Right, but if you were doing Dwarf Traders at 90, you weren't getting those XP rates either. You're going to be failing way more than that 800K an hour.
Yeah. What was it? I'm trying to remember what my XP rate was. I know I did a test back then when I was doing that, but it was high. So.
But anyway, so looking at this, I always sort of expected that the XP rates are maybe somewhat changeable. Like, I didn't want to judge this update by the XP rates, and I think the mechanic of sort of the medium AFK mechanic is great. It fills some gaps, and I was like, if the XP rates are not competitive, they can be boosted. If they're too good, they can be nerfed.
I agree with you.
They are probably roughly at the right point if you want to sort of make them fit in with the Prisoner's training. They don't look too crazy. We'd have to do a lot of extra analysis to see if any of the other training methods are now obsolete. I'm hoping they aren't.
Yeah, but they might be. I mean, if you don't want to run around, you're going to do Dwarf Traders for maximal XP per hour.
Yeah.
If you want GP, you're going to do Prif. If you want a nice mix of both, you're going to do safes.
Yeah. But the addition of this attentive thing where you have to click it when it flash changes everything for me, and it kind of ruins it. Like, I just don't think that's what was needed in the skill.
But you don't have to be attentive. It doesn't change anything for you.
No, it doesn't.
You can do it however you want it.
It adds a training method that I don't have to do, no, but I think it replaces possibly all the training methods now, which...
It was supposed to.
No, it was supposed to add an option. I think it makes some attentive skilling methods obsolete in this particular case.
I don't think it makes Dwarf Traders obsolete, because the best XP rate is still the Dwarf Traders. And we shouldn't there be some kind of like fun factor in this too? Because this is actually kind of fun. You know, I mean, this is like...
It's like you get to go all thieving. Around.
Yes, it's almost like farming for thieving, and you can do it over and over and over. I mean, yeah, we had the choice between AFK or full-on sweaty Dwarf Traders. We had nothing like in between. And see, that's what I like about this kind of attentiveness. I might be just on it for like those four safes and Zamarigal's fortress. I might be just on it for those first three, and I might miss one. Right? And so, like, my rate's going to fluctuate. I'm pretty much attentive, but if I miss out, I'm not screwed and going back to square one.
So, Sirion, like,
I don't know.
What methods do you feel this could make obsolete?
Now you're asking about my knowledge of thieving methods.
I'm actually going to throw one out here right now. Monkey Knife Fighters.
Yeah, that was one I was going to suggest. Are they still going to be useful at all? Kermit Plunder at the higher levels,
right?
They're going
to
do that.
They're going to need to do something to make that more lucrative.
I think they need to boost the drop chances on the Ibis stuff.
You know how you make Pyramid Plunder a thing?
Mm.
Make it give Menaphos rep.
Yeah, something like that. Like make it give items like. That's how you give the variation. I think it should be more profitable. I mean, you're plundering a pyramid.
Right. And when we did the behind the scenes for this month, we raised this question about pyramid plunder. And the question was, how much was a scepter? Well, the current scepter price is about 1 million GP, but that's a pretty rare thing to get.
Yeah, I've never got one. I've got one. Yeah.
And I mean, who knows? There could be something in the pipeline down the way for Pyramid Plunder, I think.
Also, heroes in Ardoin, 80 thieving.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I honestly think the day of pickpocketing anything beyond a man when you're first starting out the skill is that era is gone. With this update.
But the whole skill used to be that, and is that now just gone?
It feels that way. I mean...
And I think that's sad, in a way.
Beyond...
I mean, there's now the Thieving Guild for, like, the first 62 levels, is what you say. I think hand pickpocketing is still a thing. But anything else? Or Master Farmer, maybe, for Iron Man to get the seeds, but... Bearded Polnivnian Bandit. Who does that?
And see, but
there's a bearded Polnivnian Bandit.
Yeah,
and a non-bearded one.
But didn't these issues exist before? Because wasn't it commonly accepted at the high level you do either Dwarf Traders or the Elves at 90 plus, and if you're below 90, you do Pyramid Plunder.
Yeah, and if you really want to just put yourself through agony and you're really into quest. Yeah, you can go do those on double, you know. But otherwise, those aren't good either. Like none of that was good. That's what I'm saying. Like, so what if it replaced it? It sucked. It wasn't very good.
But hey,
so I don't have any nostalgia over that.
But there's still an option out there for the masochists on double XP weekend who want to go to Ape Call.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so.
It's like in World of Tanks. There's this tank that I have that was given out for free a number of years ago, and I coincided with an anniversary that was relatively unpleasant, and the tank is relatively unpleasant as well. But the tank has the highest damage for a tank destroyer at tier 6, which is about one-third the way through the game. But yet, I still go out there, and I still put myself through the pain of playing that tank every so often. It's called the Masochist Tank, and... I'm rewarded for doing that, because once with that tank, I was aiming for a target that was about 100 meters in front of me, but I missed. And the shell went flying far true to the other end of the map. Oh, and then I one-hit killed the tank on the other side of the map. So,
oh, wow.
Even if it's painful, you're rewarded for doing things that hurt yourselves. So these monkey knife traders, you know, there's still going to be someone who's going to be out there and who's going to go there and do them on Double XP weekend just for the sake of doing so, because they like the odd reward.
They can't
get to any of the
others. They can't get anywhere else. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I like what they've done.
I think the pickpocketing can be fixed by making it more profitable in some way.
Yes. Yes, totally agree with that.
I'm not going to say it's fun, but completely sort of ignoring that it exists by making it the worst possible thing in each sort of dimension, I think is a waste of what can be. I think if you give it like a boot, like if pickpocketing was genuinely profitable, like the XP rates might not be as good as safecracking, or they might be as good as safecracking. It's just they take a lot more attention, and they also give you more loot, and that helps with the variation, and it helps with adding more skilling techniques of obtaining some GP.
Yeah, and I think that would be a good point to walk through. So.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, we have to be real careful about trying to be the crazy girlfriend in the relationship here with Jagex, because we've been talking about variety, and they've been giving us variety with skilling, and we've been talking about you should be rewarded if you're more attentive, and they've been giving that to us, and we said we want to be able to be AFK if we want to, and they've done that, so we can't, when they give us what we want, we can't turn around and be like, oh, well, yeah, but I mean, this is too good, or this is too that, or it's too this. You're too tall. You're too short. You're too this. I just don't think... I don't want to be the crazy chick here.
No, but I want to come back to the variation. I don't think you're adding variation by making all the training methods obsolete. And I think pickpocketing... I guess it was obsolete to begin with.
Right.
So maybe I'm making a fuss out of nowhere. But
and see, my response to that is, wasn't this an issue before safecracking came out? It's going to be exacerbated by this, but it existed before.
It might have been. I just think that instead of sort of like brushing the whole thing of pickpocketing is broken under the carpet, let's just add an attentive thing to saves and consider it fixed. I think I would have liked it much more if the save cracking had remained the AFK thing that it would be, and then have like another update to do the attentive stuff on the pickpocketing. Then you
like
have
fishing
just,
frenzy.
Yeah, like you just add like a much
we
more wider
do.
Range.
It's called dwarf traders.
Yeah, but just for the higher levels. While the safe cracking is really aimed at like the 60 to 90 range of people, I would say.
But that's because. But this is a very old way of looking at it. You're thinking. Thieving equals pickpocketing, because thieving has always equaled pickpocketing. But thieving should be more than that. Like, thieving should be pulling some heist and doing some, like, stealing stuff from a safe or doing something else. It's more than just walking up and grabbing someone's wallet. I mean, to me, that is boring.
It is, but it should always remain part of it, and I think it's sort of slowly dying out.
I agree. It is dying out.
See, but I'm up here in Priff right now. People are still pickpocketing.
No. We're talking about the old style pickpocketing, like on Heroes and Men and Master Farmers and Monkey People.
You only do that as long as you have to.
Yeah, but
like,
there still
should
be
that's not enjoyable. It's not fun. No one wants to do that. You just do it while you have to.
Yeah, but the way...
Isn't that the case with most skills, though? Like, don't tell me you ever had fun training agility.
Never. I hate that. Never. Never, ever. Wait, no. I do enjoy putting a big stack of Silverhawks on my boots and running away. It's a lot of fun.
I mean, I had some fun when I started in the Brimhaven agility. I'll admit that. I was like, oh, this is fun. I'm going to get 9-9 agility like that last two levels or so. And I was at level 20, so.
Yeah, I had fun for a minute in Priv. I'm not going to lie, but it was like, it was a fleeting a fleeting thing before I'm like, oh yeah, this is still agility.
And but yeah, just to come back, I'm not saying we should keep pickpocketing as it is. I think it should also be modernized a bit. I think we can make pickpocketing slightly more fun.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
And but, I mean, I think I have to agree with you that it probably didn't really introduce any new problems to the skill.
Good.
The skill is still broken.
And those problems existed before. Now, with that being said, let's lay out what a year or so from now that the skill dichotomy could look like here. And, you know, Jagex could have put this in here as well, is that there could have been a series of safes or a different set of options of safes where there would be a set timer on them where they would relock, and in order to prevent them from relocking, you would need to be attentive and you would need to click like you do with Fishing Frenzy, and that could be the high intensity training from them. But maybe we're all wrong on that. Maybe it doesn't need to be with safe cracking. Maybe instead it could be from Pyramid Plunder, revamped Pyramid Plunder that would be high intensity and bring in those rewards. And then you could also do a balance pass on all the creatures that you can pickpocket from so that they can be rewarding as well and be click intensive. And then along the way, you have, you know, these medium to high intensity activities like safe cracking and whatnot.
I don't think we should add like all the different variations of training to like one particular object in this case, which is safe cracking. I shouldn't, like, that's so uninteresting to me. You like walk up to a safe and you're like, how am I going to train today, intensive or not? That just seems stupid. I would like to sort of have those spaced out over different things, because that makes...
You're right, that's bad design.
Interesting.
That's bad design. But, an object should serve this one purpose.
Like, right, I don't like
bad design? And
I don't like the fishing hub either. It has like everything in one place.
There we go.
Like, it's like, why? Like, isn't it much more interesting to have these training methods sort of spaced out for the game world and make the game world more interesting? I don't like Fifth because it has all this stuff as well. Like, I want things to be part of the game world, not just make your choices on the spot. It feels too much like the Spring Fair or the Summer thing for me, where you, like, click to throw a coconut at something and it asks you how you want to do it. Like, why are there not three different things throughout the world? So that is sort of something.
Well, at least I can see where you're coming from at this point, because I was going to say, like, how can we like one but not the other when it comes to fishing, the new fishing hub versus this. But to me, I like them both, so I guess that makes sense. It's consistent. You don't like either one. It makes you consistent. I just...
I'm not saying I dislike the safe cracking. I just think it's not perfect.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think they could have done more with it.
Yeah, and that's where we get into the rewards with this, because by counting, it would take 30 hours of thieving to buy all the upgrades, and at level 93, this would grant roughly 16 to 18 million thieving XP. Loot bags are expensive and effectively useless, because you can always just get to the Thieves Guild and dump your loot box out, and you can,
you know... It affects your XP per hour, Shane.
No, but medium...
It affects your XP per hour if you don't have to stop.
If you don't have to stop to go take your stuff back. But if you have the camo outfit, which you would presumably if you're a high level and you're maximizing,
you definitely want to use
that. You would teleport yourself to the Thieves Guild. And there is a lodestone right out there, a couple steps away that you can run into.
Yeah, well, and that's the method that I do, but I still, it still slows
seconds.
You down a little bit.
It's 30 seconds.
It's gonna slightly boost your XP per hour, and if you're going for 200 mil.
But no, I think I know where you're going, Shane, and I'm probably going to completely agree, because the rewards are lackluster, and I wish we had more.
Right.
But that is the one drawback, I think, to this update.
But hang on. You might not agree with me entirely. Let me go through these other two rewards here. The Master Stethoscope is 2,500 points, and that effectively is just something you can tool belt.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's up, and your inventory doesn't get filled when you're doing this. So once again, the question is why. Master Lockpick, useful for the ogre coffins and part of Desert Treasure, but
but we have the hack pin, right?
Where does
it? It's a quest reward. It's an unbreakable lockpick. It's a quest reward. Called a hack pin.
Oh man. That is some obscure shit that
I remember
can't
that,
remember.
But I don't.
That is awesome.
I remember it, and I was wondering where mine was this week, but I couldn't find it. Oh. Yeah.
Did they remove it? If they removed it, I'm
I don't
be
think so.
So.
I don't think so.
But yeah, I have it in my bank. Like every time I need a lockpick, I just take that. I don't own lockpicks.
Yeah.
It's useful, I guess, on your tool belt, but when do you ever
need? And this is 2,500 points for these two top things. Yeah. Then you have an Elf Clan reset, which is 200 points, and the maximum points per hour has been roughly 400. So doing the math, that means it's going to take you about 30 minutes of safe cracking to get a token for a 20-minute activity reset. So the only time you're actually going to want to use one of these tokens if for some reason, you want to thieve some clan back-to-back.
Yeah, which I can see that.
Maybe.
I mean, there's...
But why not wait 20 minutes instead of doing 30 minutes of safe cracking, unless you're really worried about both doing the same clan back-to-back and maximum XP per hour?
I think it just depends if you're trying to get a specific... Like, a particular clan is going to offer particular, you know,
like
items.
Like if you're trying to thieve dungeoneering points.
Yeah,
for Bird's Nest.
Then, you know, you might want to
reset.
Also,
if you want to get the... shards.
Mm-hmm. Or porters, stuff like that. I could see that being useful. Not super useful, but it could be useful.
Falling gloves.
Yeah. Clue scrolls, not as much, but...
Clue scrolls are all glands, so you can just go around.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Yeah, that's they're everywhere. I know, I can't get them out of my inventory.
No.
Thieves Guild teleport 10 points, and I mean, once again, I'm going to ask why this is a reward when there's you can use the camo outfit and you have a lodestone right outside, but maybe I'm just old-fashioned in that regard.
Well, you're old-fashioned, Shane, but I don't know. You might be right about that one.
Yeah, I'm the guy who teleports to Ardoin and then runs to the Fishing Guild to access the fishing hub.
Oh, I do that. Is there something wrong with that?
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Why is that old-fashioned?
Right?
You just... I don't know. You know what? I think part of... Maybe I'm spoiled with my teleports, and so I don't remember how to do half of this stuff anymore. I just change my portals, and off I go. one stop. Oh, that's it.
I don't change my portals, actually. Mm.
There's also the Shock Absorber, which protects you from one stun while pickpocketing, and the Cheeky Monkey Pet, if he does that for you for free once a minute.
Also, we just talked about how you would not do pickpocketing anymore.
Right? And that's the point with this.
Except for maybe Dwarf Traders.
Or Paladins. Right.
But that's maybe. Where those would be used for Dwarf Traders, and that is going to help. I mean, as for those two rewards... Once you got everything else, I don't know what else you have to spend it on. You know, I mean, like that's the problem with the rewards is like, yeah, those two ain't great. Well, what else are you gonna do with the points?
And that's the thing with this. And this goes into kind of what Thieves was talking about and what his big issue with this was, is that in the year ahead post, Jagex had said that there was going to be perks, kind of like the prawn perks and whatnot, that you would be able to unlock with this for the thieving skill. And he was pretty disappointed that these weren't there.
Yeah, and that would have been
the icing on the cake, I think.
Cool. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
and we're getting that, like, with the... month ahead went with the idols, so they could have done it. Just I don't know.
I so you said like there should have been more rewards earlier, and now you're like talking about the prawn points, and I think they're different, right? Because everything you do with fishing, like every training method, will give you progress towards prawn points, but here you can only get these points if you choose to do safe cracking. I think the number of rewards are actually okay. Like I think this is a good number of rewards. Like it will last you a while, and but also if you don't wanna just do safe cracking, like you're not gonna miss out that much. And
Exactly. And
if
that's
like if you want the actual useful stuff, you don't need to do like spend, well, you need to do 30 hours. That's quite a lot. But like I think the balance is okay there. Like maybe the rewards could have been more useful, but I don't think there should have been more.
And that's what I was going to say in regards to tennis. You know, you thought I was going to be on the track. Oh, there needs to be more rewards and whatnot. But I think what we got here as an update is advertised if you factor out the year ahead post and the alternate training methods that this brings into the skill. I think these are okay for rewards. Yes, they could have been more useful, but I don't think it needed to have been over the top.
Well, I like that they're. The one thing I like about the rewards more than anything else is that they tie into other methods that, so they can enhance but not overpower the other methods. I would have also liked to seen. I just would have liked to seen like maybe you could have gotten the camouflage outfit using your points if you didn't have the invention level to make it or something. I don't know. Something in addition, but not anything like you couldn't do it in another way. Just maybe a little earlier.
I don't know how I feel about that design-wise. I think it should be limited to invention, but you know, at the end of the day, though, can we just be clear here? And I think we're all in agreement that this doesn't ruin the skill in terms of making it broken.
Not
No,
more
I don't think
broken.
so.
Not any more than it was before, because aside from dwarf traders before, what did people pickpocket? Monkey creatures. And we already talked about when you're going to do those. So,
Yeah, twice a year.
exactly. Now, in terms of routes that you can take for this, we didn't talk about this. Thieves' suggested route is a non-wilderness route going from Zemeregal's Fortress to Camelot to Zanaris, and possibly the Alcard safes once he dumps off his loot bag at the Thieves' Guild. Now, as for me, what I have been doing, I've been doing one that's a little bit longer. It includes Zamriegel's Fortress, Camelot, the Ardoian Market, the safes along the West Ardoian Wall, and Zanaris. And if you were really wanting to with this, you could also throw in the safes at the in Yanil, because there is a safe in Yanil just by the
It's
POH
two.
portal, two of them.
Yep.
So, and the
And those
beauty,
are pretty good routes. I mean,
right.
those are
And the
pretty good.
beauty of this is that the Zemeregal's Fortress one is a bit of a long run, but you can access that via the Glacier Fairy Ring. Camelot, you can access by just the Camelot teleport. The Ardoian Market is the Ardoian teleport. The West Ardoian Wall is the chipped Evil Dave teleport. The Yanil one is the chipped teleport tab for the Yanil POH, and Zanaris is a fairy ring. So, they're
And
all
those
fairly
would be,
accessible.
there's some variations with that, like depending on how quick you're getting through your safes. So when I first started, I was going to Zanaris, Zamarregal, and then back to Camelot. But by the time I would go back to Zanaris, it wasn't enough time if I was
If you're
being attentive.
quick.
Yeah, if you're quick. So then I added in the two in Yamil, and it still wasn't enough if you're quick. So then I'd add in the Ardung, but I just go to the Ardung lodestone, hit the chest that is right above the silversmith, and then the two in the castle, and that seemed to be the perfect amount of you come in at like 9 minutes, 54 seconds or something like that. So like it's really, really close.
Yeah. And what's our cooldown? 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think that that covers the routes. And I mean, in some ways it's like farming like that, right? And mm-hmm. you get access to this at level 62. And I mean, you can do it AFK, you can do it not AFK. You're going to get better XP if you do it not AFK. But I could see someone who is at level 62 who likes farming just picking this up and doing it AFK while watching TV.
Yeah, you could. Mm-hmm. And there'd be nothing wrong with it.
I mean, it's nowhere near as lucrative as the Prif Elves, but hey, it's an option until you get there, right?
Yeah. For sure, it's better. I mean, if you don't like Pyramid, some people love Pyramid Plunder. Hey, that's great if that's what you really like. I didn't. So this would have given me an option instead of just being stuck in that pyramid. Plus, I didn't really feel right about stealing, you know, historical artifacts from another.
See, I went full old school and at Monkey Knife Fighters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
During the bonus XP weekend.
And this is the point where we're at right now. I mean, you can have a look at what the skill is, or you can go for the variety in it. But in general, what Thieves told me with this update is that the thieving skill is now effectively, and I quote, safecracking if you're active and want XP, elf pickpocketing if you were AFK or want clues or even GP, and he feels that dwarf traders are going to be dead with this update.
Really?
They were dead before. I mean, everybody did. Almost everyone.
Yeah, and see, that I think he's looking at this at a post 99 to 200 mil route.
I mean, it could be. I don't know, though. I mean, just every person that I've ever known to be in any kind of competition is going to do. They've always done dwarf traders. And there's, I mean, Montembo said it's still the highest, so.
Right, it's still the highest. But so what I've been told is the sort of the big thing you can get from elves and fifteeners is brawling gloves.
Yeah.
Which are really rare. But basically people have been telling me don't spend like any bonus XP on thieving, don't spend like any other training methods. You want to spend as much of the thieving experience you get on fifteeners elves because you want to get those brawling gloves.
Yeah. And
so I think a lot of people were sticking to Prif because it's easy, it's fast, you get really good loot, you get these brawling gloves, you get elite clues. What's not to love?
Right. And speaking of brawling gloves, if you were to use the thieving brawling gloves on the wilderness safes and use them on the last aisle of the safe, they would award 5 million XP per glove.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just stick that in our pipes and smoke it for a minute.
Yeah, well, with risk comes reward, right? And you're risking your ass going out there.
I don't know. I feel like we have not reached a definitive conclusion on this update. I mean, one minute we're saying it's good, it adds variety. The other minute we're saying, no, people are going to be back to elves. Then, oh no, they're going to be back to dwarves if they want high XP. I mean, I don't feel like we've reached a definitive answer on this.
We haven't came to a consensus, but I'm pretty consistent. I love it. I think it's really good.
I love the idea of it, but I don't know about the active method. I still think it's just shouldn't have been there.
And as for me, I think it fills in a gap that was missing and at the mid tiers. And I'm going to actually jump down to the month ahead stream that happened this week. And Jagex said that this was, for all intents and purposes, a mid-level update. And they were worried that it would be low-key and players wouldn't enjoy it because it wasn't for high levels, just like happened with Menaphos, for example. Now, They're calling it a nice change of pace from Prif, and the XP being given is on track. They are fully expecting it and expecting people to hit 1 million XP per hour with this, and they would look at rebalancing if it went north of 1.5 million XP per hour.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I think it's right on. I mean, how many updates do we get that are aimed at mid-levels that aren't complete useless for higher levels? And this actually isn't useless, but it still hits the mid-levels the best. I mean, I just don't see what they didn't do right here.
Oh, I'm not saying they didn't do anything right. I think if you look at the news post and you look at what was on design, we got that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's anything wrong with
that.
We're
happy?
I mean, I am generally positive.
I am pleased with it, and I am pleased that you guys are pleased with it.
I mean, I'm giving this a hard time because I consider that my job, and also because I don't like the fact that I didn't know about this active thing. And
there's also the unfinished business of pickpocketing in the rest of the skill being useless.
Yes, I just think...
And this is what we've been talking about forever with skilling, right? I mean, we talked about this at length, Tanis, with the fire-making char episode the pitch can.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I'm so happy, because it's not like that.
I spent 15 mil GP that week for the good of the podcast.
Oh, man. Yeah. Took one for the team. Yeah. Took one for the team there.
All right. I think this is a diverse update, and this is how I'm going to end this segment off. I'm going to say that if you are high level and you're going to want GP and a lean back experience, you're going to stick with Prif. If you want some combination of each and you want something you can push north of 1 million XP per hour, you're going to choose safes.
Yeah, I agree. I
mean, if you really want to get the best experience that is there to get, you go to the pain of getting those ores of the dwarf traders.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think it sums that up. But I don't think there's going to be enough difference between the top-end dwarf traders and the top-end safes to prevent people from going to the dwarf traders. I think people are going to stick with
I think safes. I agree.
I think it depends on the player, though.
Right.
It depends on the player, whether you want to run around or whether you're going to want to run around a little bit less, you know, just within a small area. And some people might not want to go through the trouble of getting all these tellies and having everything set and doing all that.
But if you can push it north of 1 million XP per hour, and that's close to the dwarf traders, and the dwarf traders are a click every few seconds, and this is a click every, you know, 30 seconds or 20 seconds based on it, I think it's clear what's going to be chosen. And I'm going to defer back to Thieves List here now, that the thieving skill is now safe cracking if you're active and you want XP, elf pickpocketing if you're AFK or want clues or GP, and dwarf traders are probably debatedly dead with this. And this is the debatedly point here. He says debatedly dead. And, you know, you can choose which one you want, but it is what it is. And I'm going to trust what he has told us regarding this because he has 200 million thieving XP. He used to run a clan based on thieving and used to uncover before Elf City came out, you know, the best ways to pickpocket paladins, for example. So
that sounds like a sketchy clan.
Watch your wallets.
Wonder how they do a clan bank, because that would get robbed all the time.
Very true, very true. So, well, there it is. safe cracking if you're active and you want XP. Prif if you want GP and lean back. And dwarves, you could maybe go to, but safes are going to be less clicking and roughly the same XP. So it's up to you. Oh, and of course, Sirion's monkey knife fighters as well.
Don't do that. Don't go there.
Yeah, don't do that.
Save yourself the pain.
All right, so we're going to move on to patch notes right now. I was in pain reading these patch notes. You'll see why. Catching Hellrats barehanded no longer uses the animation for catching Implings. Considering Implings are in the air and Hellrats were on the ground. Neat. The list of options from the community button on the ribbon have now been split into two rows. We had a great discussion about this in the Clan Quest Discord, didn't we?
I think the main response to it was, why? Like, the original sort of wall of icons was like, why are they doing this? And I think the answer has been, like, given on this podcast many times before. It's the fact that there doesn't seem to be much thought about the UI design in RuneScape.
Yep. Your interfaces will no longer be closed in Dungeoneering when someone goes through a door. That's very nice. And even that annoying
feedback. Oh, that is so good.
Yeah.
Yes. That is... Oh, yeah.
Finally.
I assume it's also fixed in sinkholes, where you have the exact same problem.
You're trying to make runes and someone opens the door, you're like, come on. Yeah.
Oh, gosh, that skill.
It's like, well, you scrub, you don't have your aura? No, I don't have my aura. I don't like the engineering, okay? It's like, no, I don't have my aura. I need to make runes. Slow your roll.
All right. The clan settings interface is now overlay. As a result, you can now kick or assign rank ups in your clan without worrying about your interface closing each time you do so.
That is really nice.
Yeah. Logging in with a minimized Slayer counter, a Reaper counter will no longer crop text when the counter is expanded again. A little bit odd. The Ring of Fortune should now correctly display that it helped you get an item rather than the Ring of Wealth in certain situations. And of course, that's part of the luck rework from last year. Clan rank icons now appear next to the player's name in clan settings, which makes sense if you're wanting to change ranks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we have a duplicate here. Oops. I already talked about the clan settings interface once, so we'll just skip that. Resolved an interface issue with clan member entries clipping through the bottom of the clan interface and the clan settings interface.
This was in the game for months. I mean, come on. This came into the game when they changed the interface to be like standard between French chat, clan chat, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it was so obvious, and it was broken for months, and it pissed me off so much.
Yeah,
so I'm really happy that's fixed.
And this update also broke my friends list, and you know that's still broken. Maybe I should send in another bug report about that. Oh, and by the way, the names in clan chat and friends chat are now white. Pure white. I mean, one step forward, two step backwards, right? Like, who would have thought making this text white was a good idea?
Oh
boy. All right. Activating the farming skill Cape Burke or a patch bomb on Grapevine should now correctly inform the player of how many products they received. This has been another one going back months. I mean, you would just go harvest your grapes and you would have no idea of how many you got. That was a little bit disconcerting at the time, and it was nice that it's been fixed. So the Karazi Jungle with the lowercase j has been renamed to the Karazi Jungle with a capital J. Do you guys always call it the Karazi or the Kazari? I, for some reason I swapped that Z position.
I don't even know.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Dungeoneering token bags are now automatically redeemed when pickpocketing Melior workers. Now, here's an idea for you guys. Here's an idea. If you take the elf reset tokens from Safecracking and you apply them to the Melior clan for these or the Bird's Nest, how many Bird's Nest or Dungeoneering tokens do you think you could get in an hour?
Well, it's not going to be a great amount. You know, it's like 10 Dungeoneering coins per bag.
Yeah, sometimes you get like a bag with 100, but...
Yeah, I mean...
It's not going to be good. If you want Dungeoneering tokens, do sinkholes and go for the tokens.
Yeah.
Nobody wants the tokens.
What about for Bird's Nests?
Arma?
I mean, I'm just floating this as an idea out there.
I think you're probably better off just getting them from Miscellanea.
Okay. Or woodcutting. I'm just trying to think how much of a benefit would this be for Iron Men who want to get Bird's Nests, but I can't buy them.
Mm.
I'm going to test this later. I want to know. The I don't know button now correctly appears on the bank pin interface. Good. The letters I and B no longer behave as key binds when searching for an item to buy in the Grand Exchange.
Oh,
right? It's a question of, like, what's going on here? Teleporting with the Ectofiel will no longer empty it, so you don't need to run towards the thing to fill it up.
Oh, okay.
A back door has been added to the kitchen within Lumbridge Castle, similar to old school. This door will be open permanently.
Why? Wait, they added a back door? Did the American government get to them?
Yeah, right? Probably. Well, and I don't even know why we have that, because have you noticed there's no chest in Lumbridge Castle? So apparently the Duke is broke. He ain't got no money. Nothing to put in that safe.
Why is this needed? Why did people vote for this?
I don't know.
Like, what the...
That's it. Democracy sucks. We need a benevolent dictator, right, Shane?
And it comes from old school, of all places.
I know. Couldn't we get something good from old school, like... I don't know, Monkey Madness 2 or
Dragon Slayer 2.
Yeah, you know, something like that. That should be cool.
I don't know. I mean, it makes no sense. And I thought for a while RS3 was the game that was going to, you know, not do stupid, crazy things. But here we are.
I feel so bad for the cook. Like, the door is open permanently. It's going to be so drafty.
Well, maybe it was hot, man. It's always hot in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it's a relief for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that must be it. Mm-hmm. That's the reason. That's why, Shane. It's just empathy for the cook.
Shane don't have empathy for the workers. Come on now. Get to cooking. What the hell? They give you a break.
It's just the fact it was an old school update brought to RS3 and it passes. That is truly annoying me.
Yeah, I mean it was unnecessary, but I guess it doesn't affect me one way or another, so whatever.
Oh my gosh. All right. A teleport to Relica Market has been added as a Fremnic Elite Set task reward for the Sea Boots 4. This is good.
That's good.
I mean,
that makes the boost boots actually somewhat useful, maybe.
Yeah, and the question is, when do you wear them?
When you do Dagonoth Kings?
Are they a part of the comp cape?
They're a part of the task, so yeah.
Okay. The spin flax spell no longer requires you to target an item in your inventory to cast. Okay. Fixed audio issues that could occur when using USB headphones. Anyone?
I think mine might be a USB headphone, but I don't even know.
Yeah. And Windows XP support has been removed from the NXT installer.
I wonder how big of a percentage that
there was a correspondence that happened between us and Jagex regarding that at one point. I think it was really, really small.
Good.
Like 3%, I think. Something really, really tiny about that. But anyways, Windows XP is finally gone. Here we go. Here we go. I got the numbers. You guys ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't 3%. It was actually far less. Any guesses?
0.3%.
0.1. 0.34. So. Alrighty, folks. That's it for the patch notes this week. On to something else now called Parcels from the Hedge. Now, this update has garnered some excitement and some concern as well, because it was, you know, largely viewed as DailyScape, because if you logged in for the next 30 days, you would be getting these parcels, and it would continue even if you decided not to log in and pick them up. But I don't see that as an issue, because you literally just log in, the parcel is in your inventory, press a button, and bam, there's your reward.
Yeah. It's not DailyScape, in my opinion, at all. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you're not missing anything if you miss a day.
This is not the first day you log in.
And this isn't one of those, like, things that you get tokens or some kind of currency for.
You get postage stamps.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's.
I mean, the post stamps sort of like, I think you unlock, the more post stamps you get, the more you unlock.
Yeah. And you can get pieces of fan mail around while you're just training, and you can also get post stamps from that. And you can use.
Oh, I thought Tycho didn't change his address or something. Or it just kept coming to me. Oh, okay, that explains it.
Now, what you can get from the parcel is not necessarily the fan mail. You can get the parcel Pete pet, the postie Pete hat, the swag bag, 250 mil or 500 mil coins, and Barrow's Rings of Transmog, which transform you into a Barrow's brother. So,
or 10 coins.
Or 10 coins.
Don't forget,
I mean, the 10 coins, come on. That's
10 coins from your secret admirer.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what you get from getting the fan mail. And quite honestly, RSVP update fan mail is a lot better than that.
What, you get 11 coins?
No, you get the gratitude from the listeners for doing the podcast. Just this last week, I had someone who listened 8 years ago message me and say he started up again and was amazed and proud to find us still here.
That is pretty awesome.
I want the coins. I just want the 11 coins.
So, other things you can get in terms of this, after the postie Pete has delivered the numerous parcels to you during his delivery period, here's what you can get from the post offices: aura refreshes, sign of life resets, a bag of invention components, insta-kill darts, and the postie title. And you'll have access to the post office until the end of June. So as long as you log in May, you're going to get those parcels for 30 days following that. And, you know, it's not really that too much of a DailyScape issue. And I think this was good that they did it this way, because if you remember going back to the big survey that came out around Double XP weekend, the marathon type of events like the May Marathon and the Summer Road Trip were really low on the list. So this is, you know, I think a good change in response to that.
Oh. Yeah, I agree.
I'm looking forward to getting 250 mil from this so I can bankroll my scythe.
If anyone does, it'll be you, Shane.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
You don't have a scythe, Shane?
Nope.
What do you do with all that grape money?
I don't farm grapes that often, though. I probably should.
Oh, okay. I thought you'd been doing that for years. I figured you're just dice,
rolling
just
in
bank.
Just rolling in
yeah,
it.
You just had dice sitting in your bank just
No. All right, so that's Parcels from the Hedge, a nice little change on the Summer Road Trip or May Marathon. Now, RuneFest has been announced for October 5th and 6th of this year, and it's not in London. It is roughly 40 minutes to the southwest in a small town called Farnborough. But yeah, they
don't
say
be too
for,
excited. It's still in the UK.
But they say for international visitors, it might as well be in London.
I live in London. It's not in London. It's definitely not.
All right. So take us through how you would get to Farnborough without revealing too much information about where you live.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Planes,
trains,
or automobiles.
There's two ways. I can get a train into London and a train to Farnborough. Or I can take a bus to a different train station and take a train to Farnborough. That gets me to Farnborough Station, though. That takes me about 40 minutes. Then I have to get to the venue, which is about a 40-minute walk. And
a 40-minute walk.
Yeah.
And there's going to have to be some kind of transportation there. Arranged.
Oh yeah, there's a bus, but I think you have to wait like 20 minutes and then it's like another like 20 to 30 minutes to get to the venue.
Yeah.
All in all, it would take me 1.5
How long?
Well, like about 1.5 hours.
Okay. Now, you might be wondering, and if you're anything like me, you might be aware of what Farnborough was before and you recognize the area here. And that is because Farnborough was actually known for their air show. And, you know, this is something that actually relates to RuneFest here because, oh, great, there's an ad on that video. So I'll just talk a little bit while that loads up. This is a brand new venue at Farnborough, which is effectively at the airport there.
It's Farnborough. British people don't pronounce half their vowels. It's Farnborough.
Okay, I'm going to say it how I want to say it. Thank you.
No, it's Farnborough. When you come visit, you have to say it.
Farnborough.
Farnborough.
But if you look at the venue, it looks like there's a gigantic aircraft hangar, there's boardrooms, there's common areas, and there's an airstrip nearby. And what this is perhaps most often known for is that back in 2014, when Boeing was introducing the 787 series jet, they put the jet there through fighter jet takeoffs at the Farnborough Air Show. And this was a very popular YouTube video at the time. And anyone who follows aviation would have been immediately familiar with this venue. I don't know if you guys have seen these videos, but the Boeing 787 in this case ended up taking off like a fighter jet and taking off and carrying out fighter jet maneuvers at this air show. So
that's not what a Boeing is supposed to do. Yeah. The venue looks nice. It looks a bit too conferencey for me. I always thought of RuneFest being a bit different. But sure, the venue is nice. It's nice and modern. But it's in bloody Farnborough. We are solving this issue for our clan because we want to make sure that we can do things together outside of RuneFest. And like, people want to stay close to the venue because you want to go to the night before, which is at the venue. You want to go to the after party, which is at the venue. And if you stay in London or anywhere else, you're stuck with trains, which will stop running at like 11, because this is the UK and trains stop running at 11. So you're sort of stuck there. Train tickets are not cheap here as well. You're going to pay, if you pay for the tickets now in advance, you might get away with like £15 for a single trip, but close to the date, it's going to be much more expensive. You can't use any of the London public transport passes you would use, like the Oyster card. And there's people going to be coming visiting from all over the world, so they want to do sightseeing. And Farnborough is pretty grim when it comes to towns. So that's not where you want to stay if you visit England. Like, it's not like you either want to stay in London or in like an actual nice place. So I don't know. It's I think it's going to hurt attendance a lot, because who wants to come to, like, some quiet rim town in the English rural areas?
Oh, you're going to want to go there, because Jagex has the option available that if someone wants to arrive by helicopter, they said they'd be willing to arrange that.
Well, yeah. If you arrange the helicopter, I assume.
Yeah. Let me check my couch for some change.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there is going to be someone who is going to come in on a helicopter or a jet or skydiving to the venue.
I don't know.
Don't count the RuneScape community out. I can guarantee you that will happen.
Can we call them obnoxious?
Yes.
Okay. As long as we can do that.
Yeah, I don't like the venue location as a player and attendee. I don't like the venue as a clan leader. I don't like it in many ways. So I'm not entirely sure how to deal with this news.
And it was announced really early, too. I think normally we look at a June or July announcement.
I mean, I love the dates. Like, that's great. Like, I'm super happy. It's a weekend. I don't have anything planned. But the venue, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a lot of work about that, aren't we?
I just don't know how to prevent. And I looked on Reddit as well. I normally don't, but for this case, I did, because I was like, what are all the people saying? And people were saying, within 24 hours after the announcement, the hotel prices in Farnborough for that period had doubled.
Oh, yeah, when you have such a small place like that, that's going to happen.
Because there is one hotel. There's a four-star hotel around the corner that is aimed at business travelers, because there's a business venue.
And the town near is a small business
avenue. It's something like 2,500 rooms or something like that, didn't they say in the video?
I don't know. Yeah. So,
yeah.
You know, it's...
And they're also expecting people to drive. They said they have 3,500 parking spots available.
Mm-hmm. Who drives when they come visit London? If you're staying in London, you're not going to drive. That's not how people get around here. If you're traveling, you take public transport. And public transport outside of the London zone is just appalling. So, like I said, I don't know how to take this news. I'm so sad.
Oh, well, let me help you with an American perspective. Now to Tannis for American perspective on the venue. Don't give a shit. It's the same as every other year. Way far away. You can't go. So I was excited, and I felt heartbroken, because I was excited for half a second when I saw Shane put that post up, and then I watched the video and I'm like, oh, it's a half hour from London. Cool.
It's still London for those of us coming from far away, but it's going to be more complicated once you get there. And I will disagree with that. I have seen the planning that has gone into one of these events from the attendee side. And the setup you guys had last year was simple. It was amazing for RuneFest. Whereas I don't know what's going to happen this year. I mean, I've seen some possibilities, but
we are really, really struggling getting, like, because we want to facilitate our clan members, like, as much as possible. Jagex is making this almost impossible for us. Generally we're pretty good at responding to these things, but I think all of us organizing this are currently completely unsure how to deal with this. And I'm sure we're not the only ones.
Do people really not drive in London? I mean, it doesn't sound, a half hour isn't very far away. I mean, I can't get across my town in a half hour.
It's not. It depends. The problem is,
like, if I'd imagine if you live in a suburb, yes, you have a car. Well, I mean, you probably do, but you have a car and drive, right?
You don't really need a car to get around, even in the suburbs of London. I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, that's really hard to imagine from here as well.
It's a really European thing to have that. And, I mean, if I need a car, I need to rent it, and even then, I would not drive anywhere within the centre of London. Like, I live sort of on the point where I'm kind of outside of London, so I could probably drive here, but it's still pretty busy. The further you get out, the easier it gets. But it's not a city for cars. Like, there's like environmental zones all over the place as well, so it's, you can't just drive everywhere either. So yeah, like, we'll have to figure this out.
Well, we better start soon.
Yeah, we better start soon. Yeah, especially with this. Yeah,
we haven't created the RuneFest 18 Discord channel yet.
No, I've told people we will start doing that when a ticket sale goes live.
Okay, good idea. Good idea.
Yeah, there's so much to be arranged, and I'm seriously wondering what this is going to do for attendance, because, like, you don't want to come over for just this event if you come from America or anywhere. Like,
what if we... No, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. That would be bad and against the spirit of this podcast. Anyways, you guys ready to move on?
Yes.
All right, so we also did have a month ahead Q&A live stream. They talked about the safecracking. We've already been there. RuneFest, someone wants to arrive by helicopter. They can probably make it happen in terms of getting the arrangements. You will obviously still have to pay for the chopper. Mm-hmm. A little bit more information on the mystery quest that's coming up. It's going to be a bottle quest. It will be dealing with characters that have been in-game for a decade plus, have a novice quest difficulty to it with no requirements, and they're going to be going away doing a different way of releasing this, and it will be out on Tuesday, May 8th as a result of the bank holiday on the 7th. Now, on last week's episode, we thought Virago, but having been in the game for a decade plus, I don't know if that's Virago anymore.
It's not Virago. It's like, isn't it? It's you, it's... What's the name of it?
Hans. It's going to be about Hans. Hans is secretly a god.
But it was something to do with the Earth, it said. What if it's a bottle quest about elder gods?
No.
I said it was standalone, so I don't know. Standalone, but he also said that there could be lore.
Okay. My first thought was Back to My Roots too, but
Back to My Roots. What quest was that?
Remember, that's what I said last week, Shane.
What is Back to My Roots?
I said the one where you fight the Jade Vine and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
But that NPC hasn't been in game for a decade plus, has it?
Probably. It's pretty old.
I'm going to walk back my Virago prediction now. Sirion?
Yeah,
any guesses?
Me guesses? I don't know. I spent some time in figuring it out, and then I decided it's not worth it. I'm going to let myself be surprised.
All right.
But I love it already. I mean, this is exactly what we asked for, isn't it?
Yeah, bottle quests. And, you know, if it goes down well, they say we can expect more of them, so they can release more quests per year.
Yes.
Get back to that old style of questing, which would be absolutely amazing. All right. Solak will be coming the last week of the month. Group boss, meaning you can bring as many people as you want with a max number of 7. They're currently balancing for drop rates. It'll be a Reaper requirement and a comp requirement.
I don't like that. I don't like that.
The Reaper and comp part?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same.
I'm going to have to let myself be carried.
They said that it's going to be hard for someone to be carried in this, because if a single person is not apparently pulling their weight, it will harm the team and make the fight much harder.
That's stupid. Sort
of goes no again. Hiding in the corner there, baby.
but recently they have talked about sort of loosening up requirements, because, like, they want people to be carried, or like they understand not everybody is super combat
No, I think that's where they're going. They just haven't, since they haven't made the decision, they said they had to do it to be consistent. So, okay. Yeah.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah. Sorry you didn't get my Dirty Dancing reference, but that's okay. It's American classic. I wasn't calling you a baby. It's a movie line.
There was also, oh gosh, I forget the J-Mod's name, but the J-Mod who is developing it, said the exact same words. It doesn't give enough money as Telos.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's going to give less money than Telos. The reward is going to be the T-92 crossbows. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's not going to be fought much beyond release if it doesn't bring money in for people. So
I'm not going to go out on a limb and say this is going to suck really bad for us to research this one.
No, I got...
No, look, I'm not looking forward to
we
it.
Got, don't worry, Tannis. I got the ace in the hole.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Because yeah. I was planning on dying a lot.
Yeah, don't worry.
And often.
Don't Once worry. You kill it, can I come? Can I leech it? I mean, you need to investigate the whole thing.
Hey, right? If you die, you still get loot. As long as you hit it.
Yeah, that's so true. That.
I just want the credit.
We could get the RSB&B update group together. You, YouTube,
I'm
going
to die so hard.
So hard.
Bring Tycho along for a laugh.
He's just going to be distracted by laughing at our parling skills.
Oh my lord, Shane's gonna show up with a rake and be like, no, dude, that's not even right, no.
Oh well, as you guys can tell, we are already thoroughly looking forward to this, but. In other news of the Q&A, Fortick auto-attacking has been declared a bug by the Combat Council, and it will be fixed. It's gonna be removed before Solak's release.
Good. Yay! Yep. Good job. It took guts. I give it to them, man. You gotta give them credit. It took guts. They did it.
Yeah, I agree. Doing it. And the alternative will go into game sometime after that. So.
Why is there an alternative?
I know. I'm thinking there isn't going to be. They just have to tell. It's kind of like repeal and replace, you know. They only ever really intend to repeal. They're not going to replace it.
But it's still on
Keep
the
books.
Keep
that on the down low. Keep that on the down low. Don't. Yeah, we'll see. But I bet they don't. I bet they don't replace it.
Oh, that would be so great if they don't. But anyways, that's very refreshing, as you can tell here. It's about time that has been put into place. Listen to any of our former discussions on Fortick auto attacking.
Mm-hmm.
Skill cape perks, a little bit of a discussion they had regarding the post they made last week. They say 120 perks will give less of an advantage than the 99 perks do. They're still something, but they're not going to be as strong as the 99 perks.
But there are still 120 perks, so peep them.
Yeah. You know, I think at this point there is no return on this. If I was doing things differently now, I would not have put the initial Capes of Accomplishment in game back in 06. I wouldn't have put the virtual level indicators in. I wouldn't have put the virtual 120s in because, you know, at this point, every skill is going to 120, whether we like it or not, right? There's no content to fill it up with.
Agreed. Yep.
So... And the biggest thing about this is that the 99 perk update will happen when they bring these perks out. So our discussion last week was indeed worthwhile. We weren't just, you know, opining on something that might not actually happen.
Nope, it was, yeah.
So that was good. Bit of a refresher for anyone who was wondering what we actually said about that last week, because we went through each of the perks, and I think that was a good thing to do.
Yeah.
We basically said that agility, crafting, fire making, fletching, hunter, mining, prayer, and smithing need adjustments. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with them. But that's it from the Q&A. That's all I really wanted to mention here, unless you guys have anything else in the Q&A that was mentioned.
Nope. I mean, the month ahead.
Yes, that's right. Month ahead Q&A. Just a reminder for everyone that if you want to catch up with us early on in the week, on Mondays or Tuesdays next week for RSBNB Update, head on over to youtube.com/RSBNB and watch the weekly bite. This week, Sirion did one on safecracking, and we'll be back next week for the mystery quest. So youtube.com/RSBNB. Get the early information on the update and the patch notes of the week. That was a nice one you did, Sirion.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Had a cracking good time.
Yes. Oh, and lots of puns in there, too.
Yeah. It was a safe choice to pick Sirion for this one.
I deserve that.
Yeah. All right. You guys ready to move on to tech news?
Yeah.
What do you got for us, Shane?
All right. Well, before we do that, I'll just say if you guys want to send questions or discussion topics in for the show, email them to questions@rsbnb.com. You can also call or text 571-57-BNB, which is 571-572-2632, or you can leave us a DM on Twitter at rsbnb. All right. So this week, Microsoft released its Windows 10 update for the spring, which, you know, was initially going to be called the Spring Creators Update, but this they're just calling it the April 2018 Windows 10 update. So this is Microsoft's, I want to say, yearly or almost twice a year major update to Windows that advances its features and effectively carries on the theme that, you know, Windows 10 is the last version of Windows and you're ultimately going to need to not install Windows as a full update. And this is just, you're just going to get these feature updates along the way. So this will appear in your Windows update stream soon. If you're eager and you want to pick this up, you can go to Microsoft and request it right away. I wouldn't probably recommend doing that because there have been some bugs with this, specifically in regards to their new focus mode. Which basically what this new focus mode does, it's called Focus Assist, and it's a new version of the Do Not Disturb mode. And basically this is just a smarter way of stopping notifications when you're busy. And it was activating during game time so that, you know, if you would alt tab out of a game, for example, you might experience some lag. Though I personally haven't seen this. I don't know if you guys have the update yet, but that's one reason you might want to hang off on this.
I don't think so. I did get an update recently, but it was that they had updated the magnifier where you could just hold like the control and alt and use your mouse wheel to.
It's that's really neat.
Sweet. It's really really nice. But I don't know if that's the same one.
The alt rollout will start on May 8th.
Okay.
Okay.
So I went for it then. Neat. Another good thing that's happening with this update is that you can now automatically control what output device for audio. If you have numerous audio devices like a headset and speakers and whatnot, you can now control within Windows where those audio devices are going to be outputted to which device. So,
That is cool.
Right. So if you have Discord up, you can say Discord, go to this audio device. But if you want your movie playing in VLC to come out of your speakers, you can do that too. So
that is sweet.
Yeah. And, you know, this is actually really interesting because that means we're only one or two steps away from having natively what I would need to record the podcast on Windows.
Oh, that's just awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and every app you're using that emits sounds comes up there. So you can customize it. You can customize all the levels and whatnot. And it's there. They are also updating Microsoft Edge to have tab muting.
Oh, that's nice.
Even though we've had that in Chrome and Safari for years. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, hey, Microsoft has to catch up for the few people out there who are using Edge. Do you guys know anyone who uses Edge?
This guy?
Oh, you use Edge.
Well, I use both. I use Chrome and Edge. I use Edge because if you have it on accessibility settings to where it's the high contrast, like on the computer, then it carries over to Edge. So instead of having like white, you know, web pages, it's a black background with the like the white text or yellow text, whatever it is. But yeah, so that works a little bit better for me. So I use both, but yeah, I use
Edge. Edge is not quite bleeding edge yet. That's what we're saying here.
Yeah, no.
Bleeding edge. there's also Microsoft Timeline, and it replaces the task view button that's at the bottom on your start bar. And what this does is it lets you see what apps are running, but also what apps and activities you've used on the computer in the last 30 days. So it's kind of a way of going back to see, you know, if you're looking for a document or something, or you're looking for something you can work on, you can pull that up by just going through the timeline in the past there. Which is really interesting when you think about it. It's a different way of accessing your files rather than just going through to a certain directory and popping them up. I don't know if this has any use or if it's just a graphical thing, because I don't use Windows enough to know if this is something that would be useful.
All I need to know is this. Sorry, Therion, go ahead, man.
I think it's something we're moving away from. You look at your mobile phone. I have an Android phone. And how often do I really sort of navigate to the traditional folder structure? There's lots of like predictiveness going on in your apps. There's like, it shows like recent things, all that stuff. And I think that sort of moving away from the directory structure that we're used to, we're seeing this sort of bleeding into more desktop OSs where they're just trying to be more predictive and smarter about the choices they give you. So this is just a natural evolution, I think, of the start menu, because like, how often do you really use the start menu by scrolling through the list? Most of the time you just search for a few characters. Like, I have a few favorites and that's it. So I think this makes the start menu much more useful.
I have everything in my taskbar on Windows.
I mean, yeah, me too.
I use the taskbar like the dock on OS X.
I have things like my program ID once a week on my programming day. I have those in my start menu because... But most of the time, I just hit command, I start typing, I hit enter. That's...
Well, I'm just going to ask the question that all the regular guys are thinking right now. Is this going to show my browsing history with just on the taskbar, or are we good?
It looks like it shows browsing history in Chrome.
Oh, so guys, don't forget that.
Like it shows pages that were on there.
Yeah, that's going to screw somebody. Someone's wife is going to see something at some point. They are not going to like this update.
Here's one for you, Tanis. You can now activate dictation by pressing Windows key H, and it will let you dictate into any app.
Oh, that is awesome. Oh, that's so cool.
Probably won't work for RuneScape, though.
Yeah, nothing ever works for RuneScape like that. But that's cool. That is cool.
But yeah, that's effectively the Windows update for spring 2018. And the only thing missing for me, if I ever needed to record the show on Windows, would be a way to route audio between devices. So, and create virtual audio devices. So, yeah.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah, we are. All right, next up, Facebook has announced a dating feature for meeting non-friends.
That's what I want. Let's give them the information on who I like to hook up with now, too. Why not? What could go wrong?
They already have it. They already know exactly who you're going to end up.
Yeah, it's going to be opt-in, and it will be called your dating profile on Facebook. It's only going to be visible to non-friends who have also opted into dating, so your friends won't be able to see it. And Facebook says they will match you by a slew of preferences. And they say because it has more data on you than most any other app, they feel it can deliver more relevant matches.
I mean, that's going to be true. I mean, they know everything of you.
Matches will be based on dating preferences, things in common, and mutual friends.
Wait, so they will not be your friends, but presumably they
would be a friend of a friend?
Yeah, a friend of a friend.
You're so going to get caught with this. Like, no.
That's going to be so awkward. I don't know.
It's just weird. I don't know. It's weird.
They say this won't appear in your newsfeed that you've activated it. You'll be able to browse events in your city and groups that match your interests, and you can select to unlock one for dating. You'll then see the profiles of other dating users who have unlocked that same surface. You'll then browse through people's profiles that show off a few of their photos, plus basic information about them. You'll be shown people based on mutual interests and friends, plus other Facebook data. And if you're both interested, you'll be able to start a conversation with someone in a special inbox that's separate from Messenger and WhatsApp. I don't know what WhatBox is. And they say for safety, only text will be able to be sent in the beginning.
Yeah, this just doesn't seem like. So why would someone use this over some other dating app?
Well, you're already right there. You already got your Facebook account. You don't need to download anything else. You don't need to make any new accounts.
But it seems like, I don't know. See, all these dating apps came like way after I was dating, so I'm unfamiliar. But from what I know, you just swipe right or left on the other ones, right? That's it.
I don't know. I've never used it. Sirion?
And then the next thing, you're like just hooked up.
Why would you assume I use these apps?
I'm just asking if you did.
I don't. I have maybe it's an irrational dislike, but I have a very, very big dislike of dating apps because that's just not how you do it, I feel. Like, it's stupid. And I've heard stories. It's just weird sometimes, and I guess it sort of represents the awkwardness of the first date, but I don't know. I never had much interest to it. I also don't think that Facebook should be playing this role.
Yep, and we saw what happened with other data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like what makes them think people would even trust them? Like, I don't know.
I mean, I understand. Like, they have all the data they need to make proper matchups. Let's just let them do it. But on the other hand, this is Facebook dictating your life at this point.
Yeah. And what about the poor bars? I mean, the only people going are going to be going to get drunk now. I mean, what else? We're gonna lose some pubs out of this.
Like, I don't know. I don't even know what you would do or where you would go on after meeting someone on Facebook. Like, presumably, you guys would just start with a special event that you both like.
Will you come and water my crops on Farm Bill? I'll come and do yours.
maybe we can go kill Telos.
Yeah. No. I'm not down. I'm not down with it.
Crack some saves together.
Or maybe, hey, baby, I'm trying to crack your save. Yeah. What's your combination?
Crack together if you want to go wild first date.
Because here's the funny thing, because Zuckerberg is the dating expert, right? That's who I want to listen to and let my dating control my dating life. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, boy. But yeah, this will debut later this year. I don't know. I just found that story funny. But anyways, next up, something from Mozilla here and what they're calling a privacy-conscious approach to sponsored content. And, Firefox, I think, doesn't get enough coverage because it's still a decent browser. People use it, but by anyone's accounting today, the majority browser is Chrome, yes? So... Mm-hmm. Yeah. The idea behind this is that Mozilla wants a way to ensure that the internet remains viable in the future. And right now, that is through advertising. But they feel that the advertising model is broken because it doesn't respect user privacy, it's not transparent, and it lacks control. And it moves towards low-quality clickbait content. See? BuzzFeed. They didn't put that in there. That's me editorializing with this.
It fits so well, though. I thought it actually was there.
They want the internet to do better, and they said so early this year, they started to explore a new model and showed an occasional sponsored story in Pocket's recommendation section on the Firefox new tab. Now, Pocket is a bookmark saver where people can, you know, just say they want to save this website for later, and it saves that URL. It's effectively online bookmarking, and now it's integrated into Firefox. So today or this week with one of the new Firefox updates and specifically the nightly and beta chain, people may also see these sponsored stories on the new tab page. And they're planning for this feature to go fully live in May to Firefox users in the US with Firefox 60. Now, the idea behind this is that you would see something that's sponsored when you open up a new tab, and it would probably be relevant based on what you've saved in Pocket. You can entirely opt out from it. Everything in terms of personalization about the ad that you see is going to be done on the client side without sending your information or data to another service like Google does, like Facebook does. They're going to reward valuable content worthy of your time, not just clicks. And if you see a story that you don't like, you're going to be able to hide it. And ultimately, you're going to be able to disable this sponsored content altogether. And for some reason, people were up in arms about this when it was announced. But
why?
It's no different than if you open up the Google Chrome new tab page and underneath your frequently used websites, you see an ad from Google for one of their various causes or someone that they're highlighting there. So I don't see too much of an issue with what Firefox is doing. In some ways, I'd say what Firefox is doing is actually probably better. So
yeah, it didn't seem fine with me. I don't see the problem.
Like, I would love to be given the option to disable Google's little ads in the Chrome new tab page, but they don't give us that option. So Firefox is offering something here that Google does not. And
I am going to play.
It's presumably going to be better. Go ahead.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Your browser is sort of your gateway to the internet, correct?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it is sort of, you need to pick one. And like having sort of your entire browser like being ad supported, like this is just a small thing, but maybe this grows over time. I can see that becoming worse and worse of a problem. There is actually sort of a ambiguous thing that happened in the past, which happened with things like shareware. Have you ever tried installing Java on a Windows computer?
Right.
Have you seen, like, Java is a thing you need almost. And then you install it and it wants you to install like
the ASP toolbar.
A toolbar, or like toolbars are a bit out now, but there was this time where like every single installer would want to install a toolbar.
Mm-hmm.
And if you weren't careful, because you had to read the text because the checkbox was that way, and like That went really overboard, and I'm happy we sort of passed that now, but what if this is the first step of browsers doing this? Sort of adding on these little things that in the beginning you're like, oh, that's fine, but over time, these browsers need to maintain themselves in the market, and...
Oh, I completely agree with you. I personally would not have this on in Firefox. If it were up to me, if I could get regular updates for it, I would be using Chromium without the Google integration in it. But It doesn't automatically update. So I completely agree with you on that. And, you know, I think we need to get back to a point here, and I think Firefox can provide that, where a browser is just a black box that you punch in a web URL and it takes you there. And you can choose which search engines you bring into it. I think there should be choice to choose which search engines you bring into it. I don't think there should be no search engines in it. You should be able to use whatever you want. And, you know.
Even Bing.
Yeah, sure. Bing.
Okay.
Google, DuckDuckGo, you name it.
Okay.
Yahoo.
Yahoo's still a thing.
I have no idea. It was in the 90s. I don't know.
Okay. So, yeah, I completely agree with you that and that. And, you know, I think the important thing about the Firefox announcement is that they're giving user choice.
I mean, let me just say, I said I'm playing, right? I'm saying a positive thing that happens in the future. I think Mozilla is being really thoughtful about these things generally and about this thing as well. So totally. I think we're probably fine. It's just trying to explain the argument from
the other
side, point
and,
of view.
And what would an evil
still,
person do?
Yeah, but also like I'm trying to sort of give the opponents like a view here that's also rationalized, because like there's a lot of people that's like, oh, ads in my browser, it's just I like it, sure, but like there is reason to sort of keep an eye on this because this could go south.
Yeah, totally, definitely. And I don't know, maybe Firefox is worth another look, but everything just runs so smoothly in Chrome, and Chrome is so smooth from its footprint, I feel, at least. I don't know if you guys feel that. And also from the developer side as well. It's really nice.
Yeah. I don't know. Therion changed my mind. So now I'm never using Firefox. I'm suspicious. I'm suspicious of all of them now. They're gonna get me.
You know what, you know what your best answer is then, Tanis?
What's that? Use Edge?
No, get a Mac and use Safari.
You can use Safari on PC, though, can't you?
No, they discontinued it.
Oh. Apple. Okay.
Anyways, that's it for tech news this week, unless you guys have anything else on that story?
Nope.
All right, so moving on to wrap up the month of April at RSBNB, Sorensen 57 won our fletching skill of the month with 36.8 fletching million XP gained. Kind of jumbled up the words there, but you guys get the idea. Now onto the thieving skill of the month. We got 10 signups for this skill of the month, and we actually have a bit of a race going on right now. Tanis, you're in first place with 4.8 million XP gained. Sorensen 57 is in second with 4.7, and Jamandy 52 is in third with 4.4 million XP gained. So we didn't plan this, but I think with safe cracking, this is probably a good month to have a thieving skill of the month, right?
Yeah, well, you know, and I had to test the content thoroughly so I'd be prepared for today. So, you know, I guess it's worked out.
Definitely. So you can check up with that at rsbnb.com/skotm. All right. So moving on to achievements of the week right now, we got Jade Gizmo with 99 Slayer on May 1st and Chara Lambo 7 with 99 Herblore also on May 1st.
We've got two more achievements on May 1st. We have Smurfy Bano with 99 Thiefing and I Defend with 99 Woodcutting. And then we have Sorensen 57 with 120 Fletching on April 29.
And then on April 28th, we have Evan with 99 Magic and Jay Gizmo again with 99 Strength on the 27th.
All righty. Nicely done, everyone. Good work.
Very good.
Also, some very interesting names there, like Evan and Char Lambos. So. All right. So, we also have the Informer Roundup for the month of April. And, you know, I'm just going to say go to informer.rsbnb.com, read the new Informer Roundup that's there. By the time you're listening to this, you'll probably also find Tanis's article as well on safe cracking, so you can give that a read there. But the main reason we're actually talking about this right now is because for the month of May and the foreseeable future going forward, we have picked up two new RSBNB Informer writers, and one of them is right here. Sirion?
What? You didn't tell me. Oh, you did tell me about it. Yes, I am joining the staff. For now, at least. So that's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I think you're going to cover... What do you want to write about in general?
So lots of like game mechanic-y stuff, game design stuff. I find that kind of that subject's super interesting coming from like a game background myself. And over the last few years, I've just picked up like lots of interest in how you can just do cool stuff with game design. Like it's an art in a way, doing good game design. It's a mix of art and science, actually, and that's sort of I find really interesting. So I'll be looking at that within RuneScape. I'll be looking at updates in particular that have lots of game mechanics, and maybe pulling in some other games as well, depending on what I feel like. So there will be lots of that, but maybe I'll dive into some technical stuff as well, like the NXT article I did a few years
ago. Oh, that was fun. That was really fun.
It just depends what I feel like, but expect lots of game design and game mechanics.
And the second person we've added is a fellow by the name of David, and he will be covering our release of Solak this month. He is a pro PVMer. He was in on the whole side of 4-tick auto attacking and whatnot, used it, and he understands it's a bug, and he's actually fine with it going away. So it'll be interesting to get his perception on Solak once that comes out without 4-tick auto attacking and whatnot. So you can look forward to hearing from him at RSBNB Informer later this month on Solak and also on the podcast as well. So that's what we're doing with Informer this month. That's our biggest expansion in a number of years, actually.
So. Wow! Awesome. Welcome, both of you. This is gonna be cool.
I told you I had Solak handled, Tanis.
You did. Yeah, you did. Pretty good at keeping the old secrets there, Shane.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to move on to Pick of the Week time right now, and I was stretching a bit for this podcast because it turned out, in the middle of the show at Tech News, my iPhone decided to reboot with an iOS update, so I wouldn't have been able to use it to kind of show off, or rather talk about the Pick of the Week this week, but that is a game called Euclidean Lens. It's available on iOS. I don't know. Let's see. Yeah, it looks like it's iOS only available. And, you know, when iOS 11 came out, I was largely at the time looking for a game and games in general that utilize the augmented reality features of iOS 11. And that's what drew me to Euclidean Lens. Now, on its own, if you are looking for a game that's, a light puzzle, Euclidean Lens is good. But at the same time, I mean, you don't necessarily need to use the augmented reality mode with it because it doesn't add too much. It's not something that is going to be purely augmented reality. And for those of you guys wondering what that means is that you focus on a stationary object like a table or your floor, and the cube in this game will appear on the table, and you can move around the object by holding your phone in front of you and getting at different angles from it rather than actually twirling the cube in the game as you would if you weren't using the augmented reality mode. So the idea behind this is that there is a circular target that you need to get the person to. And the idea behind, the challenge behind it is that you need to rotate the cube in much the same way that you would rotate a Rubik's cube. And then once you're on the same level, you can tap the squares to get your character to move. And there are obstacles along the way. Like, for example, there are people with spheres and whatnot who will hurt you if you get in front of them. So you need to avoid those ones. And once you avoid those ones, that effectively clears that stage. And then you're free to move the cube or block to whatever point you need to do to land your character in the circle. And it gets progressively more harder as you progress through the game with this. And if you want to see a quick demo of it without downloading the game, you can just head to euclideanlens.com and you'll be able to get a quick little video version of the overview of the game. And, I would say that, even if you're not interested in augmented reality, there's definitely something you could probably pick up from this game as well. So if puzzle games are kind of your thing, you're looking for a light puzzle that doesn't rack your brain too much, or you're just looking for something that, is maybe a bit of a time waster, Euclidean Lens might be a good game to look at. I think it was like a couple dollars in the App Store or something like that. So it doesn't appear to be available for Android. So you guys are left out.
So quick question. I could probably go off on a tangent here. I don't want to do that. Quick question. Do you actually actively use the augmented reality feature of this app, or is it just a gimmick? You try it once or twice and that's it.
For me, it turned out to be a gimmick because, let's be real here, unless you have a large open space and you're interested in actually moving around the object, it's just better to twirl the cube on your screen than move around.
That sort of confirms my opinion that AR is just a gimmick, and I haven't really seen any, at least for entertainment value, good uses of it.
Yeah, I think
the
most useful thing I have seen with AR is the IKEA app that lets you place IKEA furniture.
Yeah, something like that. But that's like, yeah, even that feels like a bit of a gimmick. So,
yeah.
You didn't like Pokemon Go?
No, I didn't like it. And even the time I played it, like the 5 days, I didn't play it in AR mode.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you could not play it. Like, I thought that was the whole thing behind it. I never played it. I'm just making a joke here.
Yeah. So. All right. So what have we been up to? Let's start with you, Tanis.
Thieving. And when I got done with that, I stole some stuff.
Oh, good. All right.
So, yeah, a lot of stealing.
Good. All right. Sirion?
Not much, really. Last few weeks have been super busy in real life, so I haven't really gotten around to... what I did finally get around to was get high-level forums access on RuneScape, because I wasn't around anyway. So that might be interesting. So far, not really that impressed. People wanting a master max cape for getting all skills 120. So that's like things like that. That's gonna be a fun one. Also lots of like clan business, some politics around clan leaders that we had to resolve. So that was fun.
Indeed, it was.
not much really. I'm looking forward to some of the updates, though. I think Dex is really making it in the right direction. So I am sort of trying to fit in time so I can really go back and enjoy new content.
Good. As for me this week, safe-cracking and money-making with divination. That money-making with that is still so good. I feel like I should be doing something else in RS, but it just keeps dripping in, you know? So... I don't know what I'm particularly going for with that, but hey, it's something that I'm doing, and who can argue with GP, right?
That's right. If it don't make money, it don't make sense.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm saving for. I think I might be saving for a scythe. I don't know.
Yeah, you need one of those things. You need a scythe.
Sirion, do you have one?
No, I have Vigors, I think, but only because somebody gave them to me. I never bought anything above ports.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Well, everyone, that's it for this episode of RSPNB Update. Thank you for joining us this week. And if you want to chat with us in game, you can find us at Friends Chat Bits Bytes. Remember to check out the weekly bite on Tuesday this coming week at youtube.com/RSPNB. And with that being said, we'll see you next week for another episode of RSVNB Update. Take care, everyone.
See ya.
Happy May the 4th.